opening your heart, your door, the pulpit to us today. As Marilyn said, we have journeyed with, first with Faith Chapel, and then you folks opened your hearts and accepted us sight unseen. And we're so grateful to be here, grateful that we have this opportunity. We took the opportunity. We had to go to Toronto, so we'll drive it. And it gives us a chance to stop and see you here. It's over 4,000 kilometers each way. We have our lead slide there. As Meryl said, we've been in Asia. We were in Asia for 40 years. We came back, sure. We came back for short times. We came back for home assignments and getting the kids settled and so on. Came back to Canada after living with Muslims, having living with Buddhists, after living with animistic Christians, tribal straight animists. Came back to Canada and I said, what is this country? I think in the 40 years we were away, I went one direction and the country went another direction. And literally sitting here, how do we live the Christ life? How do we be a disciple who makes disciples in Canada? Well, the principles are the same anywhere in the world. Just how you work them out is different. And that's why I've got the Jesus ministry plan. This passage, Matthew 9:35 to chapter 10, verse 20, and I'll just be picking verses out of that. But in that, I come back to this passage frequently. I take people to this passage frequently. This is how we live out our lives. This is how Jesus lived his life. So the verses that are up there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogue, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. So what's happening? Meryl and I had the privilege just a couple of years ago to actually go to Israel. It was the first country that began to open up post-COVID. Really strict, but if you do this, you can come. And we needed to pull the leaders together, so we went, and it was fantastic. We've just driven. We left Toronto 2 days ago, got as far as the Sioux the night before, and then up to Dorion, Northern Ontario. Your towns, your little towns are stretched apart. Jesus is going from village to village. He's walking. So you got to scrap your Northern Ontario picture, and you've got to squeeze everything in a whole lot tighter, strip out the trees, make it a lot of bare country, and you're walking the 5, 10, 15, 20 kilometers, what it is. Jesus is doing this from town to town, village to village. And he's preaching good news of the kingdom. And as he's walking along, he sees the crowds, and the crowds are harassed, like a sheep without a shepherd. Who are the harassers? The harassers are actually the religious leaders. Religious leaders who are much more focused on themselves and what they're going to get out of it than on the needs of the people. And he looks around at this, and he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So you disciples, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest. And then he basically, as we get in chapter 10, basically says, and you go. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest, and you be the answer to that prayer. And he's going to be sending them out. Next slide. In OMF, as you said, we lived in Singapore after 30 years Philippines and with different people groups. We lived in Singapore for 6 years. That's where our international headquarters is. That's where people come from 20-plus nations around the world, spend their first 6 weeks. We were there 3 months. It took us longer. No, we couldn't get a visa out. But that's where we bring all the new workers together to give them the final prep to be going out to all the countries of East Asia. So this is just one of the batches that came through, 3 to 4 batches a year. But my point is, Jesus is still calling people today. Jesus is still sending workers out. And sometimes the out is across the street. And we have to note the change that's within our own country. Prince George is actually a lot like Thunder Bay in many, many ways. The Prince George I grew up in was all European rooted. The Prince George we just moved back to, it's good fun because you walk through Costco and I hear about 5 conversations in Filipino, which is one of the languages we speak. South Asians are there. Lots of people are coming. That's the Canada I came back to. So Jesus is sending people across the world to needy people. He's sending people across the street to the needy people that he has brought. So next slide. There's four things I want to pick up on this morning. Out of this passage, there is a truth. There is a message that we have to share with all people. We need to find a people whose heart God is preparing to receive the message. There's a cost. We're told that there's a cost, and we'll talk about that. But there's also God's enabling to make those journeys into people's lives. So next slide, we're actually going back to the passages we looked at before. As Jesus went through the towns and villages, and this point is that there is a message that we need to be preaching. So he's going through towns and villages. What's he teaching? He's teaching in synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and healing, and we'll come back to that, the healing. He's teaching the good news. You jump into chapter 10, verse 7, as he's talking to his disciples and sending them out. And he says to them, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. So there's the message. Kingdom of heaven is near. Okay, after church, try a little experience. Walk up to somebody in the mall, wherever you go, and grab your lunch. Just walk up to somebody and say, I got really good news for you. The kingdom of heaven is near. What kind of response are you going to get? Yeah, it's a nutcase or whatever. But to the Jews, this was a wake-up call. Oh, everything we've been told from ages past, from Abraham and down through all the prophets and all of our forefathers, saying the time is coming, the kingdom of heaven, and you're telling me it's near. And it was, wow, we got to be ready. We got to clean up. We got to clean up our act. We got to be ready for the king to come. So this message made perfect sense to the Jews. I'm not suggesting you try it on the streets after, but I'm going to give you some ideas of things you can try, depending on who you're talking to. So next slide. We need to know what that message is that we have to share. If Jesus was sending them out and preaching the good news of the kingdom, so my question is, what is good news? What is equivalently good news today? Next slide. So as I said, we've had privilege to be in so many places. This is Squatter Manila. Manila, last I counted, was 17 million people, so probably more than that. So it's probably half of Canada in one mega city. But tucked in the back corners are the 4 million what we'd call squatters, those who are just living on land that's not theirs, building their houses out of whatever material they can have. If I wanted to bring good news to them, what would the good news be? Now, the first temptation is, oh, you just won a million pesos, you know, $20,000. Ah, that's really good. Not long, that's gone. So what is good news? What is the kind of good news that Jesus is talking about? There's really two things that come to my mind, and which I have experienced and engaged in with these people. So these are Filipino Catholic animist people. Good news. One of the presentations I was taught, if I don't expect you to notice, but in that black and white slide that Marilyn had up of us sitting in the living room, what we're actually doing is we're actually learning the evangelism explosion presentation of the gospel. I'll give you the English version, not the Tagalog we were doing there. If you should die tonight and stand before God and he should ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And every Filipino's got the exact same answer. Well, I was baptized as a child. I come to church. I take Holy Communion. I haven't done any of the really bad sins. I haven't killed anybody if they haven't. So I'm hoping that I get to heaven. Now I'll say, well, I got bad news for you. That's not going to work. But I got good news for you. You can be sure that if you die tonight, you can go to heaven. Jesus wants you to be sure. And then we present the gospel that tells us that those who stop trusting in all their good works and place their trust in Jesus only have assurance of salvation. I said there was two good news here. The other good news I would have for them, these people, when they're sick, can't afford to go to a doctor, but may not anyway, they'll go to the healers. and healers will require a certain amount of money from them, but they don't realize that they're actually selling their soul, that they're actually allowing the spirits to come into them. Spirits are miserable. If you have studied anthropology under a good Western teacher and they tell you, oh, you know, these people, leave them alone in their pristine condition, that teacher knows absolutely nothing about the spirit world. It is miserable. And we walk into this context and we say, Jesus has power over those spirits. You need to change allegiance, come into his kingdom. You have power over that spirit world. That's the two things that they would be looking for. Next slide. I think this is the Yi people in China. I just pulled that off the internet. I took out the picture I had in there because it was my personal friends, and I thought, no, maybe I shouldn't put it up. We were, after working with the Muslim people, then we, as Marilyn said, came into leadership roles, and then I needed to get very deeply into one of the tribal people's lives, animistic people. What is good news to an animistic tribal person living up in the hills? You know, Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, Jesus who? We got no relative by that name. Where do you start? And this is going to sound profoundly simple. You start in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the waters. And the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light, and it was good. And what you're doing is you're taking them back to who is God. In every presentation of the gospel, at some point you've got to get back to who God is, because it's God and who he is that makes the need for salvation, but also the provision of salvation. And these people who have only the background with the spirits, as that presentation goes on, the next thing you say is, early on in God's creation, he created these beings, these angels. And a bunch of them rebelled. A third of them rebelled, got kicked out of heaven, and they actually became the spirit of the stone, the spirit of the river, the spirit of the mountain, the spirit. When you do your blood sacrifices, when you kill a chicken and you put the blood on the four corners of your field so that you get a crop, you're giving that blood to those spirits. Those spirits are a bunch of liars. They're usurpers. God made this for you, not for them. They're lying to you. And people going, whoa, we've been deceived. And the good news is, God has provided a way for you to have everything he intended for you, and it weighs through Jesus. Now, it may take me a couple months to get that far, but that is really good news to these people. Next slide. What is good news to the Muslims? We live for, as Marilyn said, we live 7 months in a Muslim home. Then we lived amongst the Muslims. This, again, I took this off the internet because I had my friends up there. No, I'm not going to do that. What's good news? Well, if I engage with them, you know, you got to believe in Jesus, the Bible says. Well, they say, well, your Bible is corrupted. And Jesus, well, Jesus was only a prophet. Don't say he's son of God, because the Quran says very clearly, Jesus speaking in the Quran says, say not that I am the Son of God. God neither begets nor is he begotten. Which actually what they mean I would agree with, but it doesn't sound quite right to us. So we're going to be banging heads. And I've had those conversations when that was the only conversation I could have. As we moved into the Muslim home, I met the husband of the home. He was actually in his father's house. He was very sick. He assigned his younger brother to help me find a house that we wanted to move our family into the area. Younger brother that day says to me, he says, do you believe in spirits? Now, this is university-educated, westernized, western-thinking Muslim. Do you believe in spirits? I said, yeah, I do. He said, I didn't believe in spirits, but last night, my sick brother, a spirit spoke through his mouth and told us to cut down a certain tree, to do a particular offering. They have very specific offerings. And then the spirit said, you pray 5 times a day, but you can't do anything about me. So here the spirit is mocking the impotence of their Islam. And I said, I do believe in spirits, but I believe that Jesus has power over the spirits. Now, they believe in Nabi Isa, the prophet Jesus. He's the greatest, you know, he's second to Muhammad. highly honored. He is the healer. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Word of God. He's born of the Virgin Mary. Many things we believe, they also believe. It's just a few very critical things they don't. Well, when I told him this, he didn't respond any farther, and so I had to let it go. I come back a month later, and Abdul, the husband, is dead. And his wife sends me a message, would you come and live with us? She's still in the family home, and she's hoping to make a little bit of income from this Western family's rent. I sat down with her. Marilyn's on the other side of the island, hasn't seen any of this. She asked the question that Marilyn, she only asked me one question. Do you eat pork? It's the only question she asked me. Now, come on, I grew up on a farm. Last year we were there, raised a couple of pigs. Do you eat pork? Nope, don't. Why not? Because I knew their beliefs. So we had taken a vow before God that we would not. And I could say with full honesty, I don't. She said, okay, then you can live in my house. Phone Marilyn up, long distance across the island, the only phone downtown that you can call out of. Hi, Marilyn, how would you like to live with this Muslim widow lady and her six kids? And Marilyn says, well, if you think I can do it, accept it. So a week later, we're moved into the home. Then the stories start coming out, how this man had an enlarged heart, and he went to the doctor, and get this one. The doctor told him, this enlarged heart, this you have, but it is not medically induced, it's the spirits have done it. Now you find me a doctor in Canada that can do that and be right. This guy was right. So they went to spirit practitioners, and spirit practitioners said, it's a woman of the clouds. She wants Abdul to be her husband in the cloud life. And you guys are all looking at me really strange. Every Maginda now knows about the people of the clouds and the people of the stones. They're the ones that when Islam came, they rejected it. And so as in punishment, they became the people of the clouds and people of the stones. And we say, a bunch of hogwash. No, it's not. It's the spirit world. It's the miserable spirit world. 3 days before he died, the woman of the clouds visited the human wife and said, in 3 days, I'm going to take him. 3 days later, he was dead. The spirits killed him. This is what we're moving into. This is what they're telling us as we are living just a few days now in this home. And I said to them, yeah, I've seen the exact same thing in our first experience up north. And large heart. Exactly the same, but I said, my friend, I didn't say missionary because we weren't missionary down there. We were followers of Jesus. Same thing. I said, my friend realized that it was a spirit. And so we came together and we prayed in the name of Jesus and the spirit was cast out. And they said, if only you could have been here. If only you could have been here. If I'm going to talk the book to them, I'm going to get rejection arguments, prepared arguments, trained arguments. But power over the spirit world, man, if you can do that for us, bring it. Many roads to Jesus. Jesus is the road to God. For some people, the road to Jesus is through the spirit world. Next slide. Then I start traveling wider. This is shot just in Beijing. I just took the shot off. I can't see the top. Microsoft building. What's good news in China? In people who have been told that there is no God, and it's been driven out of them to believe that everything can be answered through science and technology. What's good news for them? Well, there was a man in history. His name was Jesus. And let me tell you about his teaching. Yes, we're going to eventually need to get to God, but for them, they'll start much quicker at Jesus and his teaching. Next slide. Hanoi, and I won't expand on this, but people... In Vietnam who have, they're communists, so again, the same traditions. They would say they're not religious, but you go in every home and there's the ancestor shelf. So there's still lots going on. I need to keep moving on. Let's go to the next slide. So to every people, there will be words that will bring them to Jesus. It will be good news. And we need to understand who we're talking to. Even as we're talking on the street, who are we talking to? And what is going to be their journey to Jesus? What is good news to them that's going to bring them to Jesus. Well, the second thing is that there's not only the words of the kingdom, there's also the works of the kingdom. As you see this verse, Jesus is preaching in their synagogues the good news of the kingdom, and he's healing every disease and sickness. Now, he's actually accomplishing two things at once there, because there's word, sign, and deed. Words, we've talked about. Sign, that's when God does what only God can do. And in this case, it was healing. And then there's the actions. And the kingdom of God, as people of God, we don't just speak the words, we demonstrate. That's why we're a caring community. That's why we reach out to people in need. And whatever those needs are, as we touch those needs, that's part of the kingdom work. Jumping down to chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus called his disciples to him. And he gave them authority to drive out the evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Verse 8, chapter 10, Jesus said to them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosies, drive out the demons, freely received, freely give. I want to pick up on this word authority. So can I just walk up to somebody and drive a spirit out? If it's just me, no. This authority, it kind of struck me. I grew up, my first professional qualification is as a truck driver. I was driving truck commercially at 16. Can't do that anymore. And delivering fuel, and then my boss would send me out on collections. And I was a very shy guy. Still am, but I learned how to hide it. You walk into somebody's office, you bang on the door, and you say, you owe me this much money, and I'll be standing here until you write me a check. And I thought, whoa, where did this come from? And I realized, I'm wearing company uniform. I've got the company symbol. It's not me standing there, it's the company standing there. I stand here in the authority of the company. That's what Jesus is talking about here. I grant you authority. When you are confronted by the spirits, it's not you doing it. I grant you authority. You do it in my name. That's really important for us to understand, that we do the ministry of the kingdom in the authority of Jesus. And that's why it happens. Go on to the next slide. So along with knowing the truth, so who can share this truth? I see so many people wanting to disqualify themselves. Oh, I haven't been to Bible college. I haven't taken a course. I haven't. All kinds of reasons why we cannot. Take a look at this list of guys. We're familiar with this list. So chapter 2, 10, 2, the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. See, I don't know what you think when you read this name. I look at this name and go, oh no, this is trouble. I've led a lot of teams. What I see in this list is, well, you got two sets of brothers that could either work really well or could work very badly. They could fight each other or they could gang up and fight the group. Yeah, it happened. James and John's were vying for the highest positions and upset everybody else. But the ones that really catch my attention is Matthew the tax collector and Simon the Zealot. Matthew the tax collector. This guy has sold his soul to the government that is controlling them, the hated power, and he is taking money from his people. He belongs to the most corrupt department of government, and everybody hates him. Then you got Simon the Zealot. Simon is the anti-government activist. He lives to drive out the government. So you got a guy who's from the most corrupt department of government and an anti-government activist on what one team. How's that going to go? There's a really interesting verse in Acts chapter 4 after Peter and John on the way into the temple and the man is healed. Silver and gold have I none. We know the story. And then they get hauled up before the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin's trying to talk them down, talk them out. Then the Sanhedrin makes this really interesting observation. They noted that they were unlearned men, but that they had been with Jesus. And that's the point. These guys have been spending time with Jesus. They are changed. And they've got the courage to stand before the Sanhedrin, their abuser, religious abusers of the day, the religious leaders of the day, and stand up and say, no, we will not stop speaking in this name. They go, where's this coming from? They've been with Jesus. Here's my question. How much Jesus time are we getting? How much Jesus time are you getting? How much Jesus time am I getting? If we want to have a word from God for people, we need to be spending time with them. Are we getting that time of our own personal? I'm really glad everybody's here today. Fantastic. Important part of our Christian growth in community and growth and understanding and being fed and nurtured in the Word of God. This isn't enough. We need to be spending time with Jesus daily, by ourselves, in community, all these different things, so that when we're confronted by the powers of darkness, we have the words of Jesus in us. Next slide. Finding the people whose heart God is already preparing. Remember one of our teams in Beijing, in China, and my predecessor to overseeing that whole work was meeting with them. They were going through a bit of a ruckus time. And he actually said to them, you guys think you're here and you're first ones here bringing news. Two things I can say. Number one, God was here long before you were. And number two, there's been other people around too that have also been bringing the good news. So it's not all about us, but what we're looking for is those whose hearts God is already preparing. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter into any town of Samaritans. Rather, go to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, you may look at that and go, oh, so God only cares about the Jews? No, let's back up. That's at this point in time. Later he says, now go into all the world. Bring the good news to all the world. But at this point in time, he says, focus in on the Jews. That's why the message is the good news of the kingdom. That's a good Jewish message. They understand that. Later he will say, go to all the world. Next slide. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter, give it your greeting. What he's saying is there are people that God has already been preparing their heart. That Muslim home we lived in, God prepared them through this series of events that because of the husband dying, their hearts were hungry for something else. They never, as Marilyn said, they haven't come to believe, but they've made some very keen observations. You are different than other Christians. Than other Christians. Of course, we didn't call ourselves Christian. They made the observation at one point. They said, so you guys here, you're foreigners and you follow Jesus. Our Muslim leaders sent Muslim missionaries to us, and they were afraid to live over there by the graveyard because they were scared of the spirits. And they wanted all kinds of good services. You guys are different. And a number of things. So little by little, they were beginning to see. But God had prepared their heart, even though they haven't yet fully accepted the message. So as we move about, some people aren't prepared. Yes, we sow the seed widely. We look for anybody who will respond. But we're looking particularly for those that God has prepared. And people are on a journey to Christ. There's usually many steps along the journey. And if you're with people like a Muslim, it's many, 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 many steps along the journey. But they are distinguishable steps. So we're looking for people, where are they at? What is the piece of the gospel that they need today to take them that one step closer? Can I find somebody that God has prepared? Next slide. But there is a cost to it. Jesus said, I am sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Now, I'm assuming that this part of Ontario is very much like the Prince George I grew up in. I know wolves, I know sheep. Sheep means wolf, meets wolf. You have one dead sheep and one very satisfied wolf. Jesus said, I am sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. I'm not just sending you out to some sit on a beach in the sunshine and, you know, you're going to tough places. And there are going to be real risks, real opposition. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. So as we've lived in some of the most risky places, I've had guns faced at me and threatened to blow me away. God has chosen to protect me. But Jesus says, be wise. Be wise as a snake, not harmful like a snake. Be wise as a snake, but innocent or harmless as a dove. Next verse 17, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to local councils. It wasn't that maybe things might get tough. Jesus said, it's going to happen. You're going to be handed over to these councils. That's not going to be a lot of fun. And they're going to flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will go before governors and kings. Jesus is saying, and you're going to stand before the Gentile leaders. Paul later did. It's still happening today. Let's go to the next slide. Government systems. I think we all know who this young man is. Same thing in the next century, the South. There are whole government systems that are set up against the gospel. So as we move amongst, as Meryl and I have moved amongst those, and I've moved extensively in these countries, wise as serpent, harmless as doves. And yes, some of my friends get the massive interrogation. We had to work, prepare everybody for this. At 7 o'clock in the morning, if between 15 and 25 soldiers arrive at your door, you're on your way out. Not out of life. You're going to be leaving the country. But you're going to go through a real rough interrogation before you leave. So we tried to prepare people for standing before these people. Some of the local people in one of the minorities in China, and I won't name it here just because this is recorded, As we've watched China change and tighten, and it became, a few years back, we used to teach our folks, just have your computer, well-encrypted, good password, you're good. Well, then when the authorities started saying, open that computer, one of our guys went through four levels down until they offered him two chairs, one with straps on it. He said, which chair do you want to sit in? Open your computer. So we decided to say, okay. That's going to happen. Now make sure there's nothing on a computer to be discovered. That's part of being as wise as serpent and harmless as doves. How do we move about in these government systems? Do we just give up? No, we don't. We live amongst them. We are good people who follow Christ. And when there's that opportunity, we speak the good words of the kingdom. Next slide. Yeah, and I've had this look. When we're working in religious systems that are so sure that we are wrong, that everything we do is blasphemous and they have the truth, how do we bring the good news into that system? And there is a way. There's relationships. As we said, we've lived with these people. These people were committed to our well-being. There was a day, and I don't have time for this, but to get a story, but the day that everybody thought I was kidnapped, they came to Maryland and spent the day with him and said, we will send our people to the highest rebel levels to get Richard out. The relationship is the first, and then we build on from there. Next slide. And again, I took out the picture I had in there, which was Brenda. Twice in our time of working in these parts, we've had a worker shot. Remember when John was shot? This goes back to 91. John Spears, some of you may know Brenda. She travels sometimes across Canada singing. And I got the news John's been shot. And I said, God, where were you? And it's one of those few times that you get the answer immediately. And the Lord said, right there. Right there. When somebody walked up behind John and put a bullet in the back of his head and his body hit the ground, I was right there. It's tough. What does the Lord promise us? Next slide. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you're going to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. And I have had this experience multiple times. Co-workers had this experience where somebody hits you with something and an answer comes to you that you know didn't come from you. An answer comes and you share that answer. One day a newspaper man is in my home trying to peddle a new newspaper product to me. He just says to me, "You Christians, if you wouldn't insist that Jesus is Son of God, we would be much more prepared to listen to you and maybe even join you." Well, in God's wisdom, the newspaper sitting between us that day had a caption about the sons of Batangas. Batangas is like a province. It'd be like the sons of Ontario. I said, "Oh, look at this." I said, "I didn't know a province could have a son. I thought only people could have sons." And he says, "No, no." He says, it's an honorary title." I said, "Yeah. Jesus Christ, Son of God. God did not have a son like I have three daughters. Jesus was the eternal. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was eternal, but he entered into humanity and took the title Son." Now, he didn't grasp it, he didn't understand, but I knew that didn't come from me. When you stand before governors and princes, at that time, it'll be given to you what to say. So don't discount ourselves and say, "I would never know what to go." And another thing I've learned is, if you go one time and you really don't know what to say, well, then you better listen to what the question was and be prepared for it next time. Don't be missed the same one twice. But the Spirit of God, this is his message. It's his kingdom. He is with us. But that's why we need to be so filled with the Word of God that it's overflowing, that it's there for God to work and God to draw from. Let's go to our last slide. So here we are today. What about today? Jesus is still sending disciples out. He is still sending all of us out. My mother is 90. She lives in an assisted living home, and she is always finding the people who have some Christian background and is making sure that they are sure of their salvation. And those that don't have the background, sure, share the gospel with them. She's never been to Bible school. She didn't finish high school. But she's spent her years absorbed in the Word of God. Jesus is sending us out today. He sends us in with his authority. We're not just sheep amongst wolves. We are his children, protected with his authority. And yes, there are some who have to pay that price and even laying down their life. Yes, that does happen. And that's tough. But we go with his authority. We have a message. And each person we meet, ultimately we need to bring them to Jesus. Jesus brings them to God. But the entry point is going to be different depending on who we're talking to. And so we need to do research. When we moved back to Canada, we moved into Abbotsford, and we as Western Canadians were absolute minority on the street. It was South Asian, Sikh, 90+%. Man, I had to get out Wikipedia and start figuring out what is these people's belief system. But that's where I'm planted. That's where I need to be bringing the message. We have an appropriate message. We have the love to demonstrate. And it's the love of God flowing out of our lives and touching other people into their human need that is often a part of people's response to God. And we will face opposition. There will be struggles. Jesus promised it. But he also promised, "Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you." So I can say with confidence, go. Go in his name. Whether it's across the street or some of you still going around the world, we go in his name. Let me pray with us. Where you have planted us, help us to find those that you are already speaking to, whose heart you are working in. And then, Lord, give us the right words. Help us to be so filled with your word that it overflows and that your spirit can take what is planted there and use it into the lives of people around us. Thank you for your promise that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you are with us to the end. Therefore, we go in your name, and we're just very grateful for that commissioning. In Jesus' name, amen.